This is the FCB Radio Network, home of the best personalities and where real talk lives. Online at FCBRadio.com. FCB.
I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away. So don't stay, it's gonna be okay. I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away. So don't stay, it's gonna be okay.
Okay, you are listening to a mini episode of Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis. And this week we are doing part two of our interview with Brad Palumbo. He is a columnist with the Washington Examiner, and he also works for fee.org, kind of exposing government corruption and spending. And we're talking to Brad about the $3.5 trillion stimulus, what is in it, and what exactly he finds the most egregious about this bill. It's a fascinating conversation, and I hope you enjoy part two. Thank you, Brad, for being on, and I hope to have him back someday, because there's no doubt that the government is going to keep spending, and so there's going to be all kinds of stuff for him to talk about. Thanks a lot, Brad, and hope you enjoy the show.
You know, we were arguing yesterday about school lockdowns. I get a notice every day from my daughter's school about new COVID cases. And I mean, they basically just go in the trash, because what do I care? Unless somebody is sick or hospitalized, I want to know if someone's hospitalized. I want to know. But otherwise, this is gumming up the system for my kid. I need my kid to be back in school. I need you guys to take decent health precautions, as I believe that they have and are doing. But otherwise, we cannot structure society around a virus that can't be seen, you know, and can't, you know, you're victim shaming people, I think. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. Let's get back to the economic aspect of this, because one thing that I've always been frustrated with, Brad, is how to explain the debt to people. Like, and we're talking about COVID because COVID has put us into more debt. And there's a lot of people who feel like we shouldn't care about the debt. And I'll be honest with you, I am to the point after the umpteenth stimulus. I mean, I was just getting my career started when Bush gave us that first round of stimulus prior or just after 9/11. And it was like, this will never end. If we give this, it's a one-time stimulus, we swear. And, you know, 18 stimulus events later, where the debt is increasing and increasing. And I feel like I'm to the point where I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter. Just give away. Oh, there's all the money in the world. Give it away. Who cares? Because no one seems to care about the national debt or what it means. And I think there's an argument to be made that depending on which party is in office, you know, like they don't care. You know, Republicans don't necessarily care about the debt when they're spending. You know, and we know Democrats don't care about the debt when they're spending. It just seems to be something that they're satisfied to let us not think about. So I guess this is a two-parter. Why should we care about the national debt? And how do we communicate to people who aren't necessarily economically engaged every single day that the debt matters to them?
Well, so I almost want to step back from the question and say that the debt does matter, but it's not the only problem with these proposals and with socialism and big government. So even, for example, if you don't care about adding several trillion to the deficit, you should still oppose these massive spending plans, because the things they're spending money on are bad, mostly. And the act of taking that money from the private sector and spending it where government thinks it should go hurts the economy overall, right? Because you're taking things, there's only so much money available for capital. If they call this crowding out, but what all it means is that if the government borrows $1 trillion, that's $1 trillion that private sector doesn't get to borrow and doesn't get to invest. So Amazon and Apple and whatever these companies are, there's $1 trillion less available in the pool of investment capital for them to go and borrow and start new businesses or expand product lines or do whatever they do. So it's not just that the government's taking more debt, but it's that the more money government spends, the less money or money is, it's about resources. the less there is elsewhere in the economy. And in the private sector, things are, when the government's out of the way, it's often involved. But when it's out of the way, those things are determined by market signals, by prices and consumer demand, things that tend towards efficiency. But when government is spending, it's based on politics, right? Like what interest groups, what lobbyists, what's my voting base want? It's not based on economics. So in and of itself, the act of massive government spending is undesirable for that reason. Forget about the debt. And then, of course, many of the different spending provisions are bad in their own right. Things like the unemployment benefits that disincentivized work. That's bad, even if it didn't add to the debt. So it's not just about the debt. It's not just that we can't afford things, but the debt does matter. What people don't understand, the number one thing is that we have to pay an interest payment on the debt every single year, the federal government. Right now, interest rates are very low, but if they were to even go up to 2 or 3%, which is low by historical norms, the debt refinances, and suddenly we would have to pay trillions of dollars in debt in taxes, new taxes every year, just to cover the interest. So
who are we borrowing from? Where are we you're talking about borrowing this money. Where do we borrow the money from?
So some people think that most of the debt is held by China. It's actually, that's not really the case. A lot of it is, and this gets into really confusing stuff, but it's borrowed from the government itself. The government is borrowing from the government itself. And now people would say, so why do we have to pay it back? But the thing is that then if we didn't pay it back, our credit rating would plummet, and that would have, and the dollar would collapse. Like it would have really drastic consequences. So a lot of it is weirdly borrowed by the government itself, leveraging against itself. But I almost think that's a separate thing. It's not actually mostly owed to China. Okay. I think a few trillion is or something, but not the majority. But anyway, at its core, higher national debt means more future taxes. And it just acts as an overall drag on the economy and economic growth. So that's why people don't care about it too much, is because it's kind of a long-term and big picture thing, whereas people are much more likely to notice things that are in their face. But like the national debt will just lower incomes by thousands of dollars over decades because it just drags down the economy and prevents growth. But you won't notice that directly, which is why it's hard to get people to pay attention. But I would say, like, maybe Republicans, unfortunately, right? I'm not a party guy, really. So I can look at Republicans and say, yeah, they're hypocrites about the debt, at least a lot of them. Unfortunately, arguing about the debt has lost a lot of credibility with the American public because Republicans only do it when a Democrat's in power. So I would almost say while the debt still matters, we should make our arguments focused on things other than the debt, I think, when we're arguing against big government and socialism and the spending, because people ultimately aren't convinced by accounting, right? They're convinced by like stories and connections to their lives, but not like accounting. And unfortunately, even though the merits are still there, Republicans as a whole have really burned their credibility on the debt issue.
Yeah, every politician has. I mean, I think we've jumped the shark on that one. Well, let's talk about spending for just a minute, Brad, because you wrote, the reason why we even have this interview in the first place is because I read this article from you and I'm like, oh, my listeners want to know this. I think one of the ways that we do what you just said needed to be done, which is to tell the story in other ways rather than accounting, because most Americans barely do their own accounting, right? Like most Americans are in debt. And so debt doesn't mean much to them. But when you're talking about, well, geez, I could have gotten $4,000 last year instead of $1,000, or I could have gotten $40,000 instead of $167,000. When you start talking about where this money for government spending is going, I think that makes an impact, because then you're like, a lot of people think, well, this is necessary spending. Like they're spending on whatever, vaccines or cleaning or making things safer or testing, but they're spending on. It's so cute. They're spending on so many other things. I mean, that Kennedy Center thing was a big one for us. Kennedy Center not even open and still got $30 million or $33 million in COVID funds in total. And they weren't even open. So that is something. And your house was open. You were still working. You know, your kids were still needing things. So there's, we've got this infrastructure bill that is equally insane as any of the COVID relief stuff. And you've got earmarked some stuff in here that is like, I would not think is in an infrastructure bill. When I'm hearing about infrastructure, I'm hearing about really necessary things like roads and bridges. Who wants their bridges collapsing? Who wants their roads collapsing? And so I would imagine that I would go into a Brad Palumbo study and see how much of this money is going to roads. And this is the majority of this $3 trillion is going to bridges for some reason. No, you've got stuff on here that is like, this is infrastructure. Number one on your list, people, you're not going to believe this. This is in the infrastructure bill, right? Roads, bridges, everybody listening to me. Infrastructure. Number one, Brad has this pointed out, $50 million in annual funding to provide grants to eliminate or control existing invasive plants. Invasive plants, $50 million alone in the infrastructure bill. Why? This is insane.
Yeah, every time we have one of these bills, I do something where I just open up the PDF, the 400 pages or whatever. I just spend an hour skimming and just grab out like 10 crazy things. And I'm just one dude for an hour. And I found the invasive plants, 50 million. My personal favorite is that this funds a commission to promote women and gender diversity in the trucking industry.
Wow.
It also includes millions for fish restoration and recreational boating safety, improved sanitation in rural and native Alaskan villages, cash to upgrade public schools, $500 million for the teachers unions on their improvement projects, with, of course, a Green New Deal twist. These are projects that upgrade energy efficiency. And then you've got the creation of a new energy and minerals research facility for some university. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is 10 things I pulled out in an hour or two from a multi-hundred page bill. And that's just in the smaller infrastructure bill, the $1.2 trillion. It's not even getting to the $3.5 trillion one, which I'm sure has hundreds more things like this. And that's what people need to understand. Is anytime you trust the government to dole out money, a fraction of it is going to go to the actual cause that you're giving them authority to spend our money on. For example, this transportation infrastructure bill, the $1.2 trillion bill, a few hundred billion, less than half, it's hard to exactly count, but less than half goes to what we would think of as infrastructure, roads, bridges, you know, highways,
right,
maintenance, those kinds of things. I don't really have an objection to that. I wonder, like, should all of that be done at the federal level? Should some of it be done at the state level? But there's a few hundred billion of unobjectionable infrastructure spending in the law. But the bill's $1.2 trillion. So what is the rest?
Right.
The majority of spending in the infrastructure bill is not related to what we would think of as traditional infrastructure. What they do is they just openly exploit this label, because if you just ask people about infrastructure, they say, yeah, I support that. So like Biden is calling his $3.5 trillion Green New Deal welfare spending bill human infrastructure. And it's all about like Green New Deal stuff and welfare state stuff and social subsidies. And it has almost nothing to do with transportation. But they just slap an infrastructure label on that bad boy because they know voters will not read the fine print. And that's what I'm trying to do, is just let people know what they're really getting. And they should just keep this as a principle. Anytime you let the government spend your money, a large portion of it is going to go to an other than the stated purpose.
And that is, I think, a life lesson and something that I've learned a lot about being in politics. I mean, I'm Canadian by birth. I was raised as a socialist. And so there are a lot of notions that I have about like where your money should go. And, you know, learning about, and I never was curious. I just was like, we trust the government, right? Because we trust the government with our healthcare. That's a big part of being a Canadian. And they only have your best interest in mind. Because I don't know why we just assume that, but just because that's just how you were raised. You know, I just was raised to trust government. And it wasn't until someone challenged me to start looking at what government is doing, to actually look and demand answers, that it's like, oh, this isn't at all the way you think this is going to work out. So I think that is, it is an uphill battle. I get that we may never win, but it's one worth fighting. And I think that I really appreciate guys like you out there, Brad, who make this your career, your vocation, your mission, and it's always going to be valuable. So I just want to encourage you to keep doing that. Keep figuring out ways, new ways to tell the stories about what happens to your money, because this is your money, America. This is your money, and you should be able to decide where it goes instead of sending it to a faceless bureaucracy. You should have as much of it in your pocket as possible so that you can help the direct people directly around you, because only you know what your community needs. The bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. does not know how you live in Podunk, Iowa. You know, they don't know anything about your life or who's in need in your community or anything like that. Brad, I did want to ask one question, and that is, what is the craziest thing you think you've seen so far as like wasteful spending in your time covering this issue?
I think the fact that the feds lost 5 times more money in unemployment fraud, so payments to scammers, like there's this dude, rapper Nuke Bizzle, I think is his name. He got thousands of dollars in checks and rapped about it and made a music video with all his fraudulent checks.
Oh my gosh, both reading about this.
And got busted. But for every Nuke Bizzle, there's like 100 people that didn't get caught.
Yeah.
So I think for me, the craziest statistic I have yet to discover is that the government lost 5 times more money to that kind of fraud than they spent developing or encouraging the vaccines.
That is really crazy and kind of infuriating when you think about it. And here in California, we've also lost billions to scammers. I mean, we've been paying people in prison for not working.
California has given me so many good stories to write about.
Listen, I'm always, as long as I live in the state of California, I'm always employed, you know, like there's always something to talk about here as far as politics. That is the only, one of the only upsides about being here is like my career is never going to be wanting for something to talk about, or because every day it gets crazier.
This is Darvio Kingpin Morrow, co-host of the Outlaws Radio Show. And if you haven't heard our show before, check out this clip.
Chelsea Clinton released a tweet and it said, "Lesson number 2 from racial rehab today. Just because your skin is white doesn't mean you have to be white. Hashtag words of wisdom." All right. So what in God's name is racial rehab? Like when I think of racial rehab, I kind of think of like Papa John saying he needed rehab to stop saying the N-word. Like, all right, I get it. But like, Chelsea Clinton's supposed to be woke and, you know, white liberal. And what in God's name is racial rehab? That's number one. Two, just because your skin is white doesn't mean you have to be white. This is what this kind of person thinks is deep. Like, wow, this is profound. Normal white people who are not racist don't think about this stuff, right? There's no need for Robin to go to racial rehab. You know why? Because she's okay with black people, right? She doesn't see you and me, Darvio, and think, oh my God, they're black. How should I talk to them? No, just be a normal person. If you're not a racist, you don't have anything to worry about. Darvio and I are thinking about teaching a class. You can make your checks payable to the Outlaws Radio Show. Maybe Chelsea Clinton could be our first student, Darvio. What you think?
All I picture is, no, Karen, you don't have to call the police.
Subscribe to the Outlaws Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's OUTLAWS, the Outlaws Radio Show, an FCB radio podcast.
Well, I want to thank you for taking this time with us, Brad. It's been really interesting. I'd love to have you back sometime to talk about some other spending stuff. And I love highlighting this stuff. You have a way of making it very accessible. Tell people where they can find your podcast and find your other stuff online.
Yeah. So on Twitter, Brad_Palumbo, P-O-L-U-M-B-O, or search Brad Palumbo on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, anything like that. I'm on Instagram. I'm in all the places. I'm not on TikTok, and I'm not going on TikTok.
No.
But anywhere else.
Come on, Brad. I'm going to learn. That's my goal, to get like TikTok savvy this year. That's my goal. I'm going to be a TikTok star. I was going to be a gamer, but then it's too many buttons on the control. So I'm like, I'm going to be a TikTok mom. My kids are like, please do not
That's
be a TikTok
funny.
Mom. So we'll see. All right, Brad. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't lose faith and we won't lose faith. All we got is us. No one can take that away. Yeah. So don't lose faith. It's going to be okay. I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't lose faith and we won't lose faith. All we got is us, no one can take that away. So don't lose faith, it's gonna be okay.
The FCB Radio Network. First class broadcasting worldwide.